Today's scripture reading is from the book of Matthew, chapter 8, verse 23 through 37. When he got into the boat, and his disciples followed him, suddenly a furious storm came up on the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we're going to drown." He replied, "You have little faith, why are you so afraid?" Then he got up and rebuked the wind and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Today we're going to be completing our six-week sermon series on John Ortberg's book, If You Want to Walk on Water, You Have to Get Out of the Boat. And many of you told me that you've really enjoyed this sermon series, that you've found them to be uplifting in these times of uncertainty, that the study has opened your eyes as to what it is that Jesus is trying to teach us in the story of Peter walking on water. And our final two chapters in this book are learning to wait and truly seeing how big our God is. Let's bow our heads. Father God, Lord, we ask you to be with each and every one of us today. We ask you to protect us from this coronavirus. We ask you to watch over our family, our friends. Lord, we ask that we have our eyes open to who you are, your power, your grace, and your mercy. We ask you to be with us as we finally walk through this, Lord, and come out the other side. And Lord, never forget that you brought us through this. And so, Father, we ask you to be with us today. We ask you to watch over us, and we ask this prayer in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus the Christ. It's to you we pray. Amen. You know, each of those chapters, learning to wait on God and truly seeing how big our God is, could be their own sermon series. But unfortunately, we don't have time with that, with Sunday and Easter coming up. But let's see what we can cover this morning. And so the first thing we want to look at is patience. And right now, not many of us have that or are very good at it, although many of us right now are probably learning a lot about patience, being told to self-quarantine, to have our vacation plans changed, schools closed, business shuttered. Even at home, where we felt safe before, we feel a little bit uncertainty. Even online, where we are so connected with everyone online streaming their own channels, even the internet has slowed down. Facebook was in the news the other day. They're having problems keeping everything up and running with all the people who are home now and watching their favorite shows and posting everything and just having frustration. And we're used to having things run smoothly. And if they don't, we get angry and antsy, don't we? We get aggravated at the person who slows down on the road in front of us, who decides that it's better to stop at the yellow light instead of speeding through it. We don't like waiting in the doctor's office for our turn or for our routine appointments to be canceled. We get anxious waiting for a response to that very important email we just sent. Or flight delays, you know, cancellations, going to the DMV, being stuck in traffic jams. I can go on and on where our waiting and our patience are really pressed, where it's the hardest thing we can do. And so it's amazing that one of the most important lessons that Jesus is trying to teach us is, and God commands us to do, is to wait upon the Lord. You've heard that. Psalm 27:14 says, "Wait for the Lord, be strong and let your heart take courage." Yes, wait for the Lord. You see, patience is a learned behavior. It's not something that comes naturally. Years ago, I had a little Cocker Spaniel. His name was Tommy. Tommy was the most patient dog I'd ever had. He was a show dog, and the people that owned him before, they taught him a trick that really taught him patience. And the way it worked was you could actually place a biscuit on Tommy's nose, and until you gave him the command that it was okay to eat it, he would just sit there balancing the biscuit on his nose. And one day I was in the store and a customer came in and I started showing him the trick, and I don't remember, the phone rang or something like that, and I had placed this biscuit on Tommy's nose. And when I finally got done with what I was doing, I looked over at the counter and I saw Tommy there on the floor sleeping, but he still had the bone balanced on his nose. That's patient. But see, that's a learned behavior. In 1972, at Stanford University, they did a study which is famously known as the Marshmallow Experiment. If you guys want, you know, you're bored, you might want to try this at home with your kids right now. It was a study that was done to learn a few things on the topic of delayed gratification. In the study, what they did was they took 32 children who were 16 boys, 16 girls. They were evenly divided, and each child was offered a choice. They were offered a choice between an immediate reward or a delayed reward. And the way the study worked was that the kids, they could immediately receive a marshmallow. Or if they waited 15 minutes, they could receive two. Years later, a follow-up study was done on the lives of these children to see what had happened in their lives, how they had turned out, and the results were dramatic. The children who had delayed gratification, you know, in other words, the ones that waited and got the two marshmallows, they excelled in their lives. They did better at their jobs. Their marriages were stronger. Their families were intact. The children who took the single treat, they had multiple careers. Their incomes were lower, and they had a lot of stress in their life. The results taught the researchers something about patience. And with us, it should be the same when we wait upon God. To understand that patience teaches us confidence. It teaches us discipline. Waiting on the Lord is continual. It's not something that we just do once. It's a daily decision to say, Lord, I trust in you. I'm going to obey you. Even though circumstances in my life now are difficult, even though being patient is painful, to understand that sometimes clinging to God hurts because it's a habit that we have not yet learned. And right now, with so many stressors in our lives, not because of anything we have done, patience is not something that we're really good at. Right now, many of us can't freely go out. You know, I've talked to a lot of you on the phone, and, you know, right now, many of you are saying, you know, fill in the blank. It's hard. Because right now, many of us are living a new normal. And for Peter and the disciples, this was a new normal for them. Peter and the disciples are in the middle of this storm. The waves are crashing over the side of the boat. The wind is howling. They're terrified. Their lives could be over. You know, and many of us are facing that same fear right now. Our lives have changed. We are in the same boat as the disciples now. And so Jesus gives us another story. And another story of the disciples who are in another boat. And then they're also in the middle of the storm. And I want to share this one with you. Matthew 8:24. It says, a furious storm came up on the lake. So the waves were sweeping over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. And the disciples went and they woke him up and they said, Lord, save me. We're going to drown. But Jesus replied, you of little faith, why are you afraid? And then Jesus got up and he rebuked the winds and the waves and it was completely calm. And the men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. And when I read this story, something struck me, and I hope you see it also. Because what was Jesus doing? He was sleeping. He was sleeping with no fear, no anxiety, only peace. See, Jesus felt peace and he was resting because he trusted in his Father. Jesus, who experienced virtually every human emotion, sorrow, joy, pain, but Jesus here, he was hopeful. Even though he was tired and he was angry, he was hopeful. But the thing we never see Jesus ever do, and I want you to remember this, you can look everywhere in your Bible, you're never going to see Jesus being frantic. You're never going to see Jesus being anxious or panicked. Never. And when you see that, you're going to realize the biggest lesson, the lesson that Jesus is trying to teach us is this. It's that whenever we have desperate thoughts, whenever we are anxious, whenever we feel fear, whenever it seems like the situation is hopeless, that is not from God. Because God is patient. God always protects. He always provides trust. He always perseveres. He always provides us hope. The Apostle Paul in Romans 8:24-25, he says that, for in this hope we are saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. You see, God's love is patient. And we need to trust in that. We need to understand that sometimes God's timing is not our timing. We need to believe and trust that God knows our hearts and what we need. Jesus taught us this. Jesus taught us this on his walk to Calvary. When the cross was being carried on his back, when he stumbled and fell, all he could do was get up and try again. You see, sometimes walking is all we can do. When we quit, when we want to quit, we need to put one foot in front of the other. We need to say to God, God, I'm not going to quit. I'm going to follow your son, Jesus, even on the road I'm on right now. And when we do this, we come to the place that the disciples found themselves after Peter walked on the water and Jesus got into the boat with them. Matthew 14:32 says, when Jesus and Peter got into the boat, it says the winds died down. And those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. We need to say that ourselves right now. We need to understand right now that God is in control and we need to worship him. Because when we begin to rely on ourselves, we only turn to who we are. We get tricked into believing that we are in charge. And when we do this, we become lost and we live in fear. The story of Peter and the disciples ends in worship. When Jesus got into the boat, the winds died down and they worshiped him. When we have the faith that Peter developed, we never are quite the same and the world is not quite the same. For every time you get out of the boat, every time you walk on water, every time you trust in God a little bit more and seek and discern to obey his calling on your life, God gets bigger and your worship grows deeper, richer, and stronger. And so have faith. Trust in God Almighty, because Jesus is not finished yet with you. He's looking for people who refuse to follow fear and define their lives. He's still looking for people who refuse to be deterred by failure. Isaiah 40:28 says, do you know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youth grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. Listen to this, though. It says, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagle, and they will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. This is the chance of a lifetime. To show God you trust in him, to walk through whatever it is ahead of you. Whatever you're struggling with right now, whatever your fears are, remember, if you want to walk on water, you have to get out of the boat. Now is the time to trust in God like you've never had before, because God promises that he will calm the winds and you will soar on wings of eagles. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we ask you to be with each of us. We ask you to watch over us. We ask you to just continue to strengthen us inside and to allow ourselves to turn to you. Father, I ask a prayer for everybody in this congregation to have God's hedge of protection around them, for them to trust in you. And Father, when all this is over, because it will be, when all this is over, when all this is done, to remember that you got us through. And Father, we pray this prayer in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.